According to the National Library of Medicine, spina bifida is one of the most common neurotube defects worldwide, affecting approximately 1 in 2,500 newborns. For unknown reasons, spina bifida varies from different geographical regions and ethnic groups. Dom Ritter lives with spina bifida. However, he refuses to allow his disability to define his personal or professional value, looking at life as a grand adventure and an opportunity to maximize his level of influence and do the most good. Professionally, Ritter spends his days as a psychotherapist, helping other people analyze their true potential in life and the avenues that they can take to maximize their own potential. But don't get it twisted. Ritter wants everyone he encounters to chart their own course to prosperity. He joined me this week from Asia to discuss his view on life, living with a disability, and the importance of perseverance. I'm Kevin McShann. Let's have this conversation. Take a moment to welcome you to the program, and I'm excited to learn about your inspirational and encouraging journey today. Great to see you, and thank you for a few minutes, buddy.
Sure, my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Dom, as you both know, we both have a form of a disability, buddy, but it really doesn't stop us from accomplishing the goals that we want to accomplish. So I'm wondering if you could start our conversation by sort of giving me a 360-degree view of yourself and how you got to where you are today, buddy.
Yeah, sure. Like you said, you know, I was also born with a disability. It's called spina bifida, which really affects, you know, your way that you can, you know, walk. So it really affects your mobility. And it's also connected with loads of other health issues, you know, which I don't really have to go into detail. You know, if people are really interested, they can just Google spina bifida, you know, but it is a serious health condition and it really affects you, you know. Usually people who are born with this disability, you know, they are kind of like, many of them that I know as well, they're kind of like in a wheelchair. And in the beginning of my life, you know, I was, using a wheelchair as well, you know. And sometimes when I didn't have to use it, I could also use crutches, you know. But I always felt uncomfortable using it. You know, I rather just wanted to walk, you know. And although that was always, you know, with great difficulty, I was, you know, from a very young age on, you know, always wanted to move about, you know, without any equipment, you know, holding me back, so to speak. So I wasn't very keen on actually using wheelchairs or crutches, any kind of like support apart from braces. You know, I'm still using the braces today, and they are just so much better today. Back in the 70s, you know, early 80s, when I was a child, it was very much like, you know, Forrest Gump kind of thing, you know, the kind of big clunky heavy braces, you know, that but without them I really couldn't move. I mean, I could crawl, you know, but I wasn't able to walk. So this kind of equipment got better and better over the years, you know, so it became much easier to walk about. But yeah, you know, since I can remember, you know, I just love to move about, you know, and that ultimately led me, you know, to wanting to leave the confinements, you know, of living in Germany, you know, and just explore the world, go out there, you know, and see different cultures, you know, and speak different languages. Yeah, I never let it confine me, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can certainly relate to. I was born with spastic quadriplegia cerebral palsy. It simply means that I don't have enough oxygen in my legs to walk normally. But I also spent a lot of time talking to business people, those other professional fields about acceptance and inclusion for folks with disabilities, particularly as it relates to employment. But I'm going to ask you about your sort of opinion about acceptance and inclusion for all people of all abilities and all of societal life. How do you define inclusion and acceptance?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, when you ask me that question, you know, and I think most people would probably respond about, you know, social inclusion and acceptance, you know, from those people who are, you know, well, normal, you know, whatever normal is, you know, but from mainstream society, you know, of how they are accepting, you know, of something that is maybe not the norm, you know, somebody who is kind of like falls outside of that norm. But I think an equally important point, you know, and this is something that I'm more concerned with, you know, and I can relate to it more, and it makes more sense to me, is how this inclusion, you know, or acceptance actually is within the minds of those people with the disabilities, you know. So because, you know, mainstream society's ideas about disability is not just in the ones, you know, who are deemed to be the normal population, but is also, you know, instilled in the ones, you know, that have the disabilities. And for me, what is, you know, the point that is a bit more interesting for me is you know, is actually these ideas around disability inside the heads of those people who have disabilities. So for example, to actually, you know, as a way of overcoming, you know, these restrictions, you know, that maybe we face in society, is to just not accept these restrictions, you know, inside your own mind, you know, saying, you know, yes, I have this disability, but I'm not going to be in a particular way because of it, you know. For example, with me, mobility issues, I don't want it to physically stop me in my tracks, you know. So really what I would like to see, you know, and I said that before, you know, is just to see more disabled people, you know, just out there, you know, in the streets, you know, in jobs, you know, being included in the media, you know, TV series, TV shows, movies, you know, and just to be part of everyday life, you know, rather than just, you know, hidden away, you know, from society, you know, and yeah, stuff like that, you know. But I think the important thing is, you know, is also for people with disabilities to really overcome these ideas, you know, that of how they might be perceiving themselves, you know, with a disability, and just get out there, put the message across, you know, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dom, tell me, I'm curious to ask you about discovering your passion in life and how you define your passion and your purpose.
Sure. Well, the passion is, I mean, my own passion, my own satisfaction in life, you know, I get from, well, actually, to you know, speaking, you know, exchanging ideas with people like yourself, you know, and, you know, embracing life, you know. I think this is something that I just find so incredible, you know. I feel so blessed, you know, and so happy, you know, when I can see other people, you know, who feel very passionate about life and what they're doing, you know. I most certainly feel passionate about what I'm doing, you know, and if I can share this passion with other people, you know, especially in the context, you know, of having, you know, experienced, you know, these kind of setbacks, you know, from very early back on life, you know, to have, you know, life having dealt you certain cards, you know, which might make it a little bit more challenging. than maybe for other people. Although, you know, even people who don't have disabilities, they also have, you know, their share of problems and difficulties and setbacks and losses, you know. But to see everything, you know, as part of life, you know, and not necessarily as problems, but as opportunities, you know, and being able to overcome them, you know, and feeling excited about doing that, you know, and sharing it with other people and getting excited about other people's success stories as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell me, how do you sort of use the fact that you have a disability as sort of a competitive advantage in terms of your emotional intelligence as well? How do you think having a disability is actually a competitive advantage for you in the sense of solving problems in an innovative way?
Yeah. I hear you. That's a very interesting point, you know, and I think in a way, of course, you know, my life is shaped by this, you know, by what I was, you know, experiencing, you know, it definitely shapes me, you know, and I like to take, you know, all these advantages, you know, and like you said, you know, there is, I really think, you know, I agree with you, there is like a competitive advantage because you were experiencing difficulties very early on in life, you know, which are very, very tough, you know, as if you grow up as a young kid or in school, you know, with a condition or with an issue, you know, that makes you really different from the rest of the group, from the rest of the pack. I suppose, you know, it can either make you or break you, you know, and it's really unfortunate if it does break you, you know. I think in my case, it made me of what I am today. I think I learned to become really, really resilient, you know, and being able to problem solve, you know, well, how, you know, how do I deal with my disability, you know, how can I, you know, still be part of a group, you know, of a peer network, of, you know, having friends, you know, despite these issues, you know. And I think especially when I think back about, you know, the experience in school, you know, I think I never experienced, for an example, and I think that's very different from many, many other people that I've met, you know, and people that I've worked with, you know, as a psychotherapist and psychologist, is people were bullied in school because they were different, and that's just very common, you know, when you're different and kids see that you're different, you're being picked on, you know. I think I was very lucky because I never allowed people to pick on me because when they tried to make fun of me. I actually found it funny because some of the stuff was actually really clever, you know, the kind of comments that they were, you know, throwing at me and all the things that they were saying to me. So I was laughing with them. And that doesn't make it interesting for a bully. A bully wants to have a reaction from somebody. They want to make somebody cry, whatever. But I never gave it to them, you know. And I think simply because I learned so quick early on, you know, to be, well, like you said before, you know, to be highly sensitive, to be really, you know, in tune with other people of what might be going on in their minds, you know, and to not find myself in this typical victim role, you know, I never seen myself as a victim, and I think that's just, you know, something that bullies would thrive on, you know. So yeah. Very resilient, you know. I think I have to, you know, say thanks to my mother, you know, who brought me up, you know, who made me probably very resilient, you know, and very good at problem solving, you know, and thinking in the moment, and yeah, I think this is really an advantage, you know, if you had experienced a lot of difficulties throughout your life, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We always have to give credit to mom, right?
Yes, no, absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. And now for anyone who might be listening or watching this, tell me, how do you think we can use our experience as our greatest teacher when it comes to sort of persevering through a setback or setbacks in life?
Yeah, yeah. I always, you know, see it as almost like also when I talk to friends, you know, trying to relate to their difficulties, you know, I think the important thing is, you know, we all share, you know, the experience, you know, of setbacks, you know, losses, you know, tragedies in life, you know, and I when I help, you know, support other people in my professional life, you know, I always think of myself as almost like the wounded healer. You know, this is like a common concept, you know, which makes it very easy, you know, to put yourself. And I think this is another skill that I've really, you know, learned learned so well. And I think I'm probably quite good at it, you know, is to put myself in the situation of others, of what life might be for them. You know, of course, you also use your own experiences, you know, but you're really trying to put yourself into the situations of others. And when it comes to these difficulties, you know, is to acknowledge them. I think this is really, really important. You know, I never ignore my difficulties, you know, like my disability. It's always present for me. You know, my disability is with me every day, you know, and it sucks. At times it's annoying, you know, of course it is, you know. But like I said before, you know, this, to be aware of it is really, really important, you know, because only if you're fully aware of the difficulties, you know, you can overcome these issues, you know, and you can improve life, you know. I think this is really important, especially if you've managed so far, you know, to deal with different situations and different difficulties, you know, horrendous situations that happened in my life, you know, even regardless of my disability, knowing that you've pulled through a number of challenges in your life, it just makes you feel stronger and stronger, you know, because you just managed to pull through. And even if you haven't done it perfectly, you know, you never do. Of course, there's always a lesson to be learned. But I like this idea, you know, that failing is part of life. But what you need to be doing is fail better. I like that. I like the idea, you know, continuously failing is fine. It's part of life, but try to fail better next time, you know? Yeah.
That's certainly an interesting way to look at it, for sure. And, you know, I always tell, you know, a lot of people call me an inspiration for living my life with a disability, but I always tell them I'm just simply living my life, right? And if I'm an inspiration to other people, that comes with the territory, right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering if you can take a couple of minutes just to explain to the audience about your professional life, what you do for a living, and how having a disability helps you sort of build relationships of understanding as well.
Yeah, yeah. This is, you know, like what I said before, you know, this idea of the wounded healer, you know, that it can be an advantage, you know, sometimes, you know, to tap into the pain of others, you know, if you've experienced the pain yourself, you know. And I'm no stranger to emotional pain, but also physical pain, especially physical pain. And I work with people, you know, who experience both, you know, especially, you know, physical stuff as well, because of different health conditions, you know. So I think that really does help, you know, if you can tap into certain things, you know. And I think it is, like I said before to you as well, you know, with this emotional intelligence and high sensitivity, that it, for me, it is relatively easy, you know, to judge, you know, how one is doing, you know. I just get a sense of it, you know. And this is something I think maybe I'm also born with this kind of ability, you know, but or you're born with it, you know, and then it becomes perfected, you know, the more you deal with situations like this, or you are, you know, doing this profession that I'm doing, you know, which is psychotherapy and coaching. But using this, you know, I think it's very useful. I think also for clients, you know, because they can see, hey, there is somebody who, yeah, he most definitely had a really tough life, you know. So maybe, you know, he can understand, you know, or have a bit of an understanding of what it might be like to be in my shoes, to be in my situation. And I think, well, so far, you know, I've done good, you know. So it was relatively, you know, and I still find it, you know, relatively easy, you know, to tap into people's experiences, you know, by you know, putting myself in these situations and having experience, like I said, you know, from very early on, just to give you an idea, you know, of the severity, you know, of issues that I've experienced, you know, just after I was born, you know, many, many years ago, my mom was told that I'm not going to make it, that, you know, the doctors were pretty much, you know, sure that I would only survive for a couple of hours and that I would die. And I was rushed into an emergency room. I was christened by a priest, you know, because they really thought I was going to die. But I'm still alive. So I pulled through. And I think this is just awesome. You know, it's just like there seems to be something inside myself that is so pro-life, you know, that so wants to make it, that so wants to achieve and make the best of things, you know, make the best of out of my life, you know. And I want to use this incredible passion for life and this energy for life, you know, that I, you know, I think I'm bubbling with this energy, is to bring it to other people, you know. And, you know, when they feel down and they, you know, feel like they can't continue anymore, you know, they really had it, you know. And I think then it's useful to bring a bit of that energy, you know, at the same time acknowledging that somebody has a really difficult time. You don't want to, you know, negate the experience, you know, by just being saying, oh, no, just be positive. No. You have to first tap into the pain before you do anything else. You know, you need to be able to tap into pain and stuff like that. And I think that's what I'm good at.
Yeah, absolutely. You're certainly using your platform to maximize your difference in the world, aren't you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell me, Tom, I'm fascinated to ask you about what do you think is the key to eliminating barriers to inclusion for folks with disabilities?
Yeah. I think these barriers, you know, I mean, for me, the most important things, you know, are the inner barriers, the mental barriers, you know, inside, you know, apart from everything else. I mean, there still is a reality out there, you know, and you can see, you know, by going into many, many different places in the world, you know, society is not that well equipped, you know, to deal with people who have all sorts of different, you know, physical disabilities, you know. I mean, for example, my disability, mobility issues. If you look at some of the public transport systems in many modern societies, you know, there is still so much improvement that could go on, you know. It's just shocking, you know. I mean, you know, like, you know, only staircases, you know, there are no lifts, there's no special, arrangements for wheelchair users and all this kind of thing. So I can, you know, only think about that part, you know. But in terms of mental barriers, you know, is something like I said before, is to let go of these predefined ideas about what life should be like for somebody with a particular, you know, condition, you know, disability or difficulty, to really let go of these ideas, you know. It's not about neglecting or, you know, completely putting aside that one has a difficulty. Of course not. One is very much aware of it. But what you can do with it, I think that is entirely up to you. Nobody can tell you that, you know, and society shouldn't be allowed to tell you. Of course, in your upbringing, all these ideas are in one's head, you know, so we are all acculturated to different ideas, you know, about different, you know, situations, such as, for example, disability. But to really just let go of these ideas, you know, and saying, you know, yes, this is a difficulty or it is a challenge, you know, but what can I do to overcome it and to flourish, you know, and become whoever I want to be? And I think you can really take things into your hand and just become whoever you wish you want to become. I think there is this possibility. It's hard work, letting things go and becoming somebody new, but it is definitely possible. You know, I think everybody can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me, how do you celebrate the wins in life, and what What brings you the most joy?
The most joy in my life? What is a joy? I think to basically do what I choose to do, you know, to have the choice, you know, to have the freedom in my life to do what I really enjoy doing. This is an amazing experience, you know, and I'm very, very grateful for it, you know, especially thinking about, well, maybe I was born with something that could have been very, very limiting, you know. I mean, just thinking about, you know, like not even being able to leave a home or leaving or being able to even, you know, leave my country, you know. So having, you know, freedom and being able to choose what I enjoyed, having the ability and the choice to do as I please and what makes me happy is wonderful. And, you know, having conversations like this with you, you know, or my work even, you know, it's just something so nice when you when you share with other people experiences, you know, especially also when they've been very, very difficult situations, and, you know, sharing how you got through it, you know, learning from each other. You know, this isn't just, you know, people learning from me all the time. Of course I'm learning from other people, you know. This is a give and take, you know, and this is what's so beautiful. You know, we really do need each other, you know. This is just it's just an amazing ride, you know. I love life, you know, and it's nice to see when other people feel very passionate about life as well.
Yeah, life is a grand adventure, and it is. I always tell people that you only have one life to live, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. And Dom, tell me, how do you view prosperity?
How do I prosper?
How do you view prosperity?
How do I view prosperity? If you can, you know, if you have the ability, you know, if it's possible for you, you know, to live out all your potentials, you know, and I think sometimes you don't even know what your potentials are, you know, and I think I always encourage people to, and myself as well, I challenge them, you know, to try as many things as possible, you know, try to think, you know, to do things that you haven't even, you know, thought about, you know, just try things out to see whether you're good at it, you know, or whether maybe you're not good at it, you know, that's also, you know, likely. But I think to grow in so many different directions, you know, that is for me, you know, prosperity, you know, to be able to fully develop, you know, of what's there. And I think what many, many people do is, you know, is they get into routines. And I think that we all do this in society. We very, very quickly take on, you know, particular roles, you know, in our jobs, we do that, you know, and we get into a habit, you know, we do something in our family life, you know, and do that. And we pretty much, you know, very quickly, you know, get into certain routines, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, although that gives you a sense of security, you know, if you're doing things over and over again, you know, it feels comfortable, maybe it feels safe. But I think there can be so much more to life, you know, like you using the word prosperity, you know, like for me, this is like being able to grow, you know, growing like a beautiful, you know, flower or plant, you know, and, you know, with loads of different branches, you know, going into different directions, you know, to really see what's out there and what you might be able to enjoy. You know, that's for me, prosperity.
Yeah, and I'm just building on that point. Yourself as a leader in some way?
I don't like to see myself as that. It's and people ask me this before, you know, I don't actually want to be in that leadership role. I don't want to be, you know, in my profession, you know, they always use the word guru, you know, which I don't like, because I think the important message about it is I don't want to lead, because I cannot lead other people simply because I don't want them to follow my path. The path that I've taken in my life is my path. You have to use a different path. I can accompany you. I can be next to you. to follow and to help you, you know, find your path, but not as somebody who would lead, you know. And I know that people have different opinions on that, and I appreciate that, you know. But for myself, for me, it's like I don't want to be leader. I want you to be your own leader. I want you to be your own guru. There is something inside you that will lead you the right way. And I think actually that with any kind of situations in life, I think deep down, you know what the solutions are to your difficulties and problems. And it might be very difficult for you to acknowledge them or to actually realize them, you know, because, and you might have many different excuses, you know. My excuse maybe would have always been like, well, the reason why I can't do A, B, C is because I have a disability. That's the most convenient excuse I can think of. But I think deep down people have an idea, you know, of how they can pull themselves out of situations. But it's just about actually being able to have enough confidence, you know, and guts to actually do it. This is also very much about guts, you know, overcoming fears, you know. A lot of things that cripple us, and I'm using the word cripple here on purpose, is fear, you know, that can completely immobilize us, you know. We really, I think I've seen it in many, many people, and probably in most people. They know the solution to their problems, but they simply cannot do it. And I think one of the reasons is fear. Probably the main reason is fear. And the fear is not the unknown. The fear for me, from what I can see, and maybe also in my own life, is to leave the known. So, you know, to kind of depart what is known and then move on to something that's unknown. The fear is not the unknown, it's but to actually the fear of leaving things that you know so well, but to leave that behind.
Yeah, and when we look at life in general, Adala, I'm curious to ask you about your parting message when it comes to the importance of maximizing every moment in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is something, you know, that I find just beautiful, you know, to use every day, you know, as a new opportunity, you know, to put yourself out there and to experience something new, you know. And I mean, I've said this in my previous conversation with you, you know. I always, and this relates back to what I said about fear. I try to do in my life, you know, I always try, maybe not every day, maybe I should do it every day, but you know, hey, shouldn't, whatever. but I try to do scary things. And that is simply to push myself out of my own comfort zone, out of something that I know, something that is known to me, something that gives me safety, security, although these are all perceived safeties and security. But I use fear to push myself, to get myself out of the comfort zone, to experience something new and to grow. And I pretty much do this, well, almost every day, you know. And it doesn't have to be any like major things, you know, but something that maybe might make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm thinking, no, you know what, let's just do it. And whenever I've done that, I always feel like this great, and even if I messed it up, you know, it doesn't have, it almost doesn't matter, you know. But the idea that, hey, I pushed myself, I had the balls to do this, that gives you so much satisfaction. And it actually builds up your confidence, you know. If you actually get out of your comfort zone and you try it, if you then fail, well, so what, you know? There's another day, and you try again. Get up and try again. And just this repeated, you know, pushing yourself, you know, that in itself gives you such great pleasure, you know. And and pretty much using every day, you know, to do something like, you know, tiny achievements, you know, they don't really have to be massive. Sometimes I think people overdo it. They're thinking, oh my God, you know, they're setting up these huge goals that they want to achieve tomorrow or next week. And I think that can be really, really tricky, especially if you have very general goals that you're trying to achieve. But if you have like a specific thing that you want to achieve, maybe by next week, I mean, something really tiny, you know, you know, that's much easier, you know, and you're actually much more likely to be successful even, you know, and whatever happens, actually, regardless of the outcome, you can always say, hey, I've tried it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now my final question for you has to do with your own individual and personal and professional legacy and how you want that to be defined.
Yes. The legacy in terms of, you know, I think I quite like the idea, you know, of how I view my own life, you know, private, but professional, you know, is to do something that maybe is not so mainstream, you know, maybe that's something a little bit, different, you know, and I think this is really how I would like to be remembered, you know. That almost sounds like I'm writing my own obituary, but it's something that I like to be. That's what I think I'm kind of proud of, you know, that I've made something, you know, which is a bit off the beaten track, you know. That's all I'm saying, you know, something that is, well, maybe in my case it is quite off the beaten track, because, you know, even when I think about, you know, school friends of mine, you know, some people are still living in the same city, you know, or they even, you know, their kids going to the same school, you know, that we went to, you know. I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, maybe you've done other things in your life, you know, but, you know, somebody who was born, who was told at the very beginning of his life that, you know, well, his mother was told that he's not going to make it, and now live a life, you know, which is that of a world citizen, you know. That's really how I see myself. You know, I'm a world citizen, and who does something that gives him pleasure every day, you know, both socially and personally and professionally, I think is really nice, you know, that I am to do.
Yeah, and just one final follow-up, Dom. I'm curious to ask you, how do you view the concept of equity, equality and
a
diversity?
Yeah. Well, equality, you know, egalitarian, you know, obviously, you know, I think people, regardless, you know, of anything, you know, it could be, you know, gender, disability, sexual preference, you know, faith, whatever, you know, I think it goes without saying, but actually maybe only for people like us, you know, we see it as only natural, you know, to see that we are all of, you know, of equal, you know, value to society, you know, no matter what our, you know, of what we are, basically, you know. Yeah, I think that's part of the question. Was there another part of the question? Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted your overall perspective on the idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and creating a more equitable environment for us all to live successfully. And I think you gave me an answer, so I appreciate that. And I'm wondering, Dom, if people want to get connected with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Yeah, my main platform that I'm using that people can get hold of me is Twitter. And my Twitter handle is, that's like punk_therapist. So punk_therapist on Twitter. There you can find me, you can message me, you know, anybody's welcome, you know, to you know, find me and exchange ideas, you know, talk to me.
Well, that's certainly creative and unconventional Twitter handle.
There you go.
You know, I always say that I like to be a trendsetter, Dom, and you sure certainly have beaten me to that point. And I want to thank you for engaging in conversation with me and trusting me to share your story with the public and for being here today. It's most appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure, you know.